Hello, this is Richard Miles with BoardGameAuthority.com. So my guests today are Rob and Rebecca Smith of Dream Options, and their game, The Dragon Games, launches on Kickstarter June 28th. Rob and Rebecca, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Richard.
Yeah, thanks.
Not a problem. First, let's talk about Dream Options. That is the name of the company that you guys created. Tell us who's all involved with that and just how that came about.
So Dream Options is actually a family business that we have started. We have three generations of families that have worked together. And myself, I've been playing games with my family growing up. And we've been playing board and card games throughout the years, and we have a lot of great memories playing those games. And we really want to give back and share our own unique creations with the rest of the world, and that's why we started Dream Options. As far as the players with Dream Options and what the different roles are, I am the president of Dream Options, and I came up with the original idea for the Dragon Games, and I'm also the driving force behind the business. Rob's been involved with game testing and tweaking and also creating the prototypes into the middle of the night. He's also helped with editing the content. And Rob's really been the one that's been supporting me all along as we continue in this venture. Carl Hansen's also a main player in the Dream Options business. He happens to be my father. He's been handling all the manufacturing and vendor relationships. And he's also, my parents have helped me transform the original idea that we had a few years back to the game that it is today. We even have a broader list of family members that have done different pieces. We have some family doing social media for us. My brother-in-law actually created the music for the short video that we're using in social media. My niece actually wrote the backstory of the game. So when I say it's a family business, it's really three generations of family that have come together. And even when we get together for holidays and whatnot, we pretty much have games of tables, and that's how we spend time together as a family.
Growing up, games was a big part of my family. I guess that's why I'm into it now. And I just hope to continue that with my son and just have that family gaming experience, I think, is a positive one, instead of hunkering down around a TV screen and stuff like that.
That's really kind of the basis behind us doing all this. You know, we really enjoy playing games. We really kind of have a dream of sharing all of our games with other people. And this kind of provides us a different option to do that, because we enjoy playing games with our children as well. And it's a better way to spend quality time with them than sitting down watching TV or playing video games, or them playing video games and us going to watch TV.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the Dragon Games.
So the Dragon Games is a trick-taking board game, and the dragons, of course, is the theme. So first of all, a little bit about the storyline. So with the storyline, it's really about a bunch of kingdoms that are fighting, and they're trying to bring peace to the kingdoms. In order to do this, they decide to bring one champion per kingdom to compete in the Dragon Games. And so, of course, this is an artificial world with seven different terrains inhabited by seven different dragons. And you're trying to face these dragons, and your champions are moving forward to try to bring peace to the kingdoms and also power for your specific kingdom. So that's kind of the storyline behind it. As far as the gameplay itself, it is a trick-taking board game. So it has seven dragon suits instead of the traditional four suits. And what really makes the game unique is that you start with a different number of cards for each of the seven dragon suits at the beginning of the game. And then as the game progresses, more cards are added into the playing deck. So the initial playing deck for any given game is different every time you play it. And then as the players evolve during the course of the game, they also add new dragons. Well, the seven dragons are already in there. They add more cards throughout that playing deck. So it changes as you go. The dragon suits are also not equal, so some of them are harder than others, and so depending on the level of difficulty that a player chooses, it adds a lot to the strategy and how quickly they can progress throughout the game.
Another uniqueness about the game is you kind of have an individual gameplay, but you also throw in some of the collaborative gameplay. So your strategy, you may have, in a four-player game, one person on each round is trying to take their number of tricks, move forward. But the other three people are kind of trying to work against them to say, hey, we don't want you to advance because we want to advance. Or depending on where that person is on the board or where you are on the board, you may not want that person to advance all their spaces, or maybe you want them to advance, because if they're far behind and you're further ahead, but some of the other players are a little further ahead than you are, you don't want to necessarily help them. So the other person advancing really doesn't hurt you. So it adds an extra layer of strategy depending on where you are on the board versus the other players on the board and whose turn it is and what really what you want them to do or not to do. And then we throw in that extra element of the dragon cards for an action card that kind of adds an extra twist, because you don't have to play them right away. It's kind of like, do I play it now? Do I wait a little bit and see what happens? So it kind of adds like another layer to the game that can make it a little more interesting.
And it's not a true collaborative game where you're all trying to beat the game. So there is a difference there. It is an individual competitive game, but it does have the team play element that changes throughout the game that makes it interesting.
Right. You can ask for partners, not required, but if you so desire, you can ask for a partner to help. In that case, it becomes much like a traditional spades or hearts.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Let's talk about the board so that our listeners are more in the know, because when you say a trick-taking board game, in this instance, that's literal. It is a trick-taking board game.
Yep. And yeah. That's the whole premise, like, kind of behind it. So you have your board with your spaces on it, but instead of like some board games, like Sorry, you know, you roll the dice to move. This is more of, well, you have to take tricks in the game to determine how far along the board you're actually going to move. So in that sense, it really is. You're right. It's literally a trick-taking board game where you take tricks to move or set someone. Either way, someone's going to move, but you have to do it by taking tricks.
And it's much more like a Euro strategy game, but with the card elements and the board element. And so the reason why we need a board for the Dragon Games is because of the whole basis that I believe makes the game unique compared to anything out in the market. It's around the various suits and the probability behind the game and how some suits have more starting out and some have less. The spaces are the same way, and you are trying to get to the end of the board to win. So from that standpoint, that's what the board is used for scoring purposes. But the board kind of matches the probability that you start with on the deck at the beginning. So the dragon suit that only has a little bit in the deck has very few spaces on the board. So what that means is it's a lot harder to make the required number of tricks when you play with that particular dragon. But if you succeed and you do well that hand, then you're moving up much quicker than someone that maybe picked an easier route and easier dragon to get past. And so the dragon difficulty plays into the card makeup and it plays into the board movement. And plus, depending on where you're on the board, sometimes it might be more advantage to pick an easier or harder dragon depending on where other people are at and where you are specifically on the board, or other times you might want to just play your cards and depends on what you have, right? So it's a mix of strategy depending on what's going on in the game at that moment.
Yeah, your makeup of your hand each round kind of determines where you might move. And then when you throw in that added element with the dice to help you get more trump suits or, you know, cards in your trump suit, it kind of really can affect whether you're going to try to go for a harder path. So right. if you start out with a very strong hand, you may decide to go for a harder path, even though you haven't had the opportunity to reinforce your hand with extra trump.
Exactly. Yeah. So full disclosure on this, you guys selected me as one of a few people to play test and the game, have a review copy of the game to put on my website. And so I have a little bit of the experience playing this game. And that's one reason why I was excited to have you guys on the show. When you mentioned it's kind of different from what is on the market right now, I fully agree with that. The mix of trick taking with an expanded number of suits. So it's not just your normal four. There's seven suits. Players don't know what's the highest card going into the game. There may be 1, 2, and 3, and that's all there is of a certain set. Maybe let's say 1, 2, 3, 4. And so none of the big numbers, the 5, 6, and 7 might not be in there. But that's not known at the beginning.
Yeah.
Are some of the other sets, there may be 2 7s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? And that is like that type of unpredictability. Every game I've played has been 100% different, and it has made it that much more interesting to want to play it again.
And that we think is kind of one of the nice things about the game is every time you do play it, not only is it different from the start because your deck composition is different every time, but as the game progresses, that deck composition is going to change. And as it changes, that's going to affect your strategies the game goes on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because a suit that may have been harder to start may have gotten easier, but that also means you may not want to choose that path because, yeah, you may move ahead more further along the board if you win, but knowing that most of the suits already, you know, most of the available deck cards are in the deck already, well, now it might be harder to make that. And then you're just helping your opponents if you don't make your required number of tricks.
And in order to win, it really helps to start catching on to what the deck looks like as the game progresses in that particular game, because sometimes the deck overall throughout the deck tends to be higher or lower, and the strategy does change for that whole game based off of that initial deck. So it is good to pay attention to that and to maybe change strategies depending on who you're playing with and what the deck's looking like that given game.
Yeah, exactly. With the mix of trick-taking, expanded suits, dice rolling, and a board, this is just a mix of, in my opinion, when I first opened the box, looked at the game, took out the board, the dice, the cards, I was like, what is this? Like, what is this going to play like? You know, because in all honesty, I've never, I've played a lot of trick-taking games, and they're kind of straightforward, right? It's I want to get the most, and I want to, in some games, I don't want to get too much over what I bid for, because I might get sandbagged or whatever, but it's...
Yeah, like 500, yep.
Yeah, but it's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, that's just it. It's our team against another team, yep. And that's not what we have here. Just taking all the components out of the box at the beginning, it's not entirely clear how everything's going to work together, the dice and the board and the tricks of the cards. But once you play one playthrough, every single person that plays it is, wow, let's play again. Like I played this with four different groups of individuals, and every single group has wanted to play it again.
And that's kind of the why it's taken, you know, a few years to play test and tweak and retweak the game, because you're trying to find that magic middle ground, right? You don't want a game that is so easy to play that it's not necessarily fun, or it's over really quick. You take it out, there's not a lot of involvement. But on the opposite end, you don't want a game, because we've played some Euro games where there's so many pieces and it's so involved and it's so much, it takes you 3 hours just to figure out how to play the game. But the game is so complicated and so complex, no one has fun. You don't understand what you're doing. Even after you finish the game, you're like, well, what just happened?
Exactly.
And so you kind of try to find that magic middle ground, those secret ingredients to make the game just right, you know, so that when you play the game, it's not overly complicated on how to understand how to play it. But it's not so easy that it's like, oh, yeah, that's just a fun game to play every once in a while because it's so easy. You know, you want a quick game that's not going to confuse people or not really make you think.
We wanted you to be able to see as you play it more and more that there's even more to the strategy, and to be able to pick up on that the more you play the game.
Yeah, exactly. So some of the people I've played it with, we have played two or three times, they do make comments like that, oh, I should have done this last time, or, oh, now I get it, and this is how I should do it. Let's get into the Dragon Games. That is your first game that will be released from Dream Options. Is that correct?
We did do one other campaign about 6-7 months ago called Pegum. That was it's like a kid, completely different market. It is a kid game that we did, and we knew really not much about crowdfunding, so we started with that one. The Dragon Games, of course, is our baby that we've been working on longer than all of our other ideas that are in various stages. But Pegum was released. It is on Kickstarter. It did not get funded. With that one, we really, at that point, we thought that once you put a campaign out in Kickstarter, that they just come to you.
Yeah.
We obviously have learned a lot, Richard, from that, and I'm so glad we didn't start with the Dragon Games. Although we love Pegum, and we do think it's a great kid game. You know, the Dragon Games has a lot more depth to it and is really the target that we're going for Dream Options overall. But we learned a lot from Pegum, and it still was a fun game to play, and it taught us a lot about crowdfunding. And since then, we really went back in research mode on learning more about the crowdfunding industry, getting more involved with the board game geek industry, learning more about the target and how we can make this a successful business. And that's what we've been focused on for the last 6 to 9 months since we did the Pegum. We have other games as well right behind the Dragon Games that we're probably not going to get into too much detail today on, that are in various stages. So what we would like Dream Options to be down the road, if this all works with the Dragon Games, is we want to keep coming up with solid games that fit into the strategy but family and friend type market that we could keep producing underneath Dream Options.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. You mentioned some lessons learned from Kickstarter and kind of how you thought that, you know, you put something up and it's just more or less the magic of Kickstarter and the internet.
Yeah.
And you are not alone in that. you know, so I'm going to say that you are definitely not alone. I've talked to a lot of people, and that has been especially for first time Kickstarters. Obviously, that illusion is kind of broken once you put it up. And as you said, a project doesn't fund.
Yeah.
Yes.
The kind of reality sets in. So Kickstarter, for a lot of people looking in, first timers, it does have this kind of magical charm appeal that, look, yeah, all these successful games. Mm-hmm. Like, we just need to get it together, put it up there, and then we're going to live the dream. It's going to happen, right? We're going to get a game. It's going to be great. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. You have to do a lot of legwork up front. You have to build a community. You have to build awareness for the game. That's one of the reasons you guys kind of contacted me and said, hey, can you do a review of this? Can you tell me a little bit about your strategy for the Dragon games and kind of what you have kind of been building and working on up toward the campaign to kind of give it a little bit more kind of oomph out the gate?
Yes, I definitely can. So I will tell you, we did focus more on making sure the game was great on both versions rather than, you know, focusing on all the other stuff that needs to happen. And we're doing a lot more now with the Dragon game. So we have a Facebook presence and a Twitter presence that we're focused on pretty much. We redid our Dream Options website for both our business and for the Dragon games. We've been doing a lot more just talking with our own connections as well in the companies that we work with full time and with all our network of our friends. We're doing more with the videos as well this time. Our video with our first run at this was a little bit long. And so for the Kickstarter video, we're doing it a little bit shorter this time, probably around 2.5 minutes. We're also making sure that we're getting that actually done professionally, which we didn't do the first go around. We upgraded the graphics for the Dragon game. So the original prototype had, you know, royalty-free clip art, for example. And so we found an artist in Vietnam to redo all of the dragons, the digitally graphic dragons that are used throughout the game. And we're even offering on t-shirts as part of stretch goals. And so we really put a lot into the look and feel of the game. And the theme of the game, we upgraded as well, where the play of the game we had solid probably a couple years ago, but now it's really more about the theme and the artwork and the social media and the board game geek community and having a presence on there and getting some network and some connections in the industry. That's really kind of the state we're at right now.
Right. Yeah.
I want to say again, just to make sure everybody heard the first time, the Kickstarter campaign is launching on June 28th. If I'm not mistaken, that's running through August 17th.
Yep.
Okay. And so I definitely encourage everybody to go and check out that Kickstarter. This is a great game. I've had a lot of fun with it. And so has everybody else who has played with me.
I just want to say thank you again, Richard. And we do believe the Dragon Games is truly unique and it's an exciting game. We know it plays differently every time you play it, which we think is a great part of the Dragon Games. You do get to team up with others and create temporary allies throughout the game, and it does still remain highly competitive, and it's a lot of fun. So thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and I wish you all the luck in your Kickstarter campaign. I have thoroughly enjoyed the game. I appreciate being one of the early reviewers of the game. Thanks a lot, guys.
I've been your host, Richard Miles, for BoardGameAuthority.com. My guest today was Rob and Rebecca Smith of The Dream Options. You can find this podcast on iTunes. Subscribe, please. That would make me very happy. You can also connect via Twitter at BoardGameAuth, BoardGameAuth. We have a Facebook page. That's facebook.com/BoardGameAuthority. And as always, there's our website, www.BoardGameAuthority.com. Drop us a line. We would love to hear from you. Tell us who you'd like me to interview next, or tell me that you should be the next guest. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, game on.